بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been related in many hadith, as well as stated by the scholars of Islam, that among the minor indications of the approach of the Day of Judgment are: people will announce their claim to prophecy, and this matter happened already. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two people claimed that they were prophets. One of them is called Musaylim al-Kazzab, the other is called Al-Aswad al-Ansi. Both claimed prophethood at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people at the time of the Prophet were just two, as we mentioned, but they are out of 30 ones who will claim prophethood before the Day of Judgment, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that the Day of Judgment will not occur until 30 people claim prophethood, the last of whom is the imposter, or known as the one-eyed imposter, and we are going to talk about him. Also, among the minor signs of the Day of Judgment, of the approach of the Day of Judgment, are the earthquakes that increase. The occurrence of the earthquakes will increase before the Day of Judgment. As we've heard in the last few years, the number is increasing every time. Also, the population of the deceivers and the misleaders will increase also. And this already happened. Those who preach for corruption, they deceive people and mislead them and lead them astray from the right path, the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that this nation will split into 73 groups. 72 of them will be in hellfire on the Day of Judgment, and one will be in paradise. And when asked about this group, saved group, that will be in paradise, the Prophet answered by saying, Al-Jama'ah, the majority of Muslims. In another hadith, another narration, the Prophet said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, the one who follows the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions will be among those who will be in paradise in the hereafter. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the key of paradise. The key of paradise is to follow the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And the one who goes astray from this path will go to hell. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us by his saying that the 72 groups all together compared to that a group that will be saved in the hereafter are a very, very minority. That means even if you put the 72 groups together, they are still considered as minority compared to that a group that will be saved in the hereafter. Because the Prophet said that the saved group is the majority of this nation. That means always the majority of this nation is on the right path, always. Those who deviate from this path are considered minorities. You have many groups, 72, as the Prophet said, and from each group also, many groups emerged afterwards from each group. So you might find now hundreds of groups who may be claimed to be Muslims, but they are deviants. They are among the ones who deviated from the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That group could be counted in thousands, the other one in hundreds, the other one in thousands, hundreds, and so on. If you put them all together, there would be nothing compared to the majority of this nation. Now around the world, about the Muslims are counted to be 1.3 billion. Those who are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, following the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the majority among this number. About 800 million of Muslims around the world have the correct belief in Allah and His Messenger. They believe that Allah does not resemble any of His creations. They believe that Allah exists without a place. And they teach that to their followers. If you go around the world, you'll find these people who are on the right path. They are the majority. And thanks for God for this great endowment. The majority is always on the right path. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he mentioned that he was given two options. Either to choose the intercession, a shafa'a, or half of his nation will enter paradise without torture. Do you know what did the Prophet choose? He chose the intercession, a shafa'a. He said because it would cover more people. By choosing the intercession, more than half of his nation will enter paradise without torture. Then the Prophet said, do you think the pious ones are in need to the intercession? No. Only the great sinners who are in need to the intercession, because they might be tortured and they might be forgiven from the torture by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all those who are pious among this nation will enter paradise without torture by their good deeds. Will enter paradise without torture. As for the sinners who died without repentance, they are of two types. Some will enter hellfire for a period of time. Then they will be taken out of hellfire and be admitted to paradise. And some will be admitted to paradise without receiving any torture in hellfire, by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet chose what is better for this nation. In another hadith, it is mentioned that people of paradise in the hereafter will be 120 rows, 80 of them from this nation. All people of paradise, all the inhabitants of paradise among the human beings will be on the day for judgment in 120 rows. 80 of these rows from this nation. That means two-thirds. Two-thirds of the people of paradise are from this nation. Alhamdulillah. That means the majority of this nation will be in paradise. If you hear of a person who says, we are the only ones, he's talking about his group, and there are 1,000, 100,000, we are the only ones that will be in paradise, and everyone else is a non-believer, say to him, you are misguided. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the majority of this nation are always on the right path. Look around the world now. Who are the majority of this nation? Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the majority of this nation. Those who follow the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not those who deviated from the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, among the minor signs of the approach of the Day of Judgment are the diseases that are unfamiliar to society that will spread. And this also happened. Fornication and adultery will be widespread. And this happened. If you look for the statistics, how many cases of rape occurs every minute around the world? How many cases of fornication? That means with both parties' consent. How many cases of adultery occurs in every hour? On the weekend, in some places where they commit fornication and adultery, how many cases in one country? What about in the whole world? The number is increasing. It didn't happen in the past in that way, but now it's increasing, this number, and that happened already. Alcohol will be consumed excessively. And this also happened. Men will be few and women will be many. You can see the number of men is decreasing and the number of women is increasing. Men imitating women and women imitating men. And this also happened. Now they're trying to do something which they won't be able to. They want the male to get pregnant. You find the woman trying to do everything the male does in this life. And you find some men who are dying to imitate women. This happened. Also, among the signs, the minor signs of the approach of the Day of Judgment is when people will compete with one another in building tall buildings. Now, the highest they say is in Malaysia. That's the highest tower. They call them the Twin Tower. That's the highest. Now, in Dubai, they are trying to build a tower that is taller than the one in Malaysia. They compete in building taller buildings. Also, people will compete with one another in building and decorating mosques. You go to some Islamic countries and you see this mosque that cost millions of dollars. You go inside the mosque, it's very, very attractive. But this is, as the scholar said, is a disliked innovation. Why it is a disliked innovation? People, when going to these places, to these mosques, they are marvelously decorated. They start looking at the walls, at the writings, at the decorations, and they won't have that humbleness and humility in their hearts when they pray. The simple mosques, if you go to them, you would feel with that humbleness and humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about one of the signs of the day for judgment, that when you go to the mosque and you hardly see a person who is praying with humbleness and humility. It doesn't mean that all the mosques around the world will be empty from those who pray with humbleness and humility, khushu'. No, it means the case that will prevail at that time is that you hardly find a person who prays with humbleness and humility in a mosque. Now, if you go to most of the mosques, what do you see? When people pray, they don't have that khushu' in their hearts. In contrary to what was the situation in the past. In the past, the righteous Muslims used to pray with ultimate humbleness and humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them was called Abu Hazim. He was one of the righteous Muslims. He was asked one day, they said to him, "O Abu Hazim, tell us, why we reached a situation where we feel that we hate death?" He said to them, "Because you had a big concern in building your life here and destroying the hereafter. And everyone doesn't like to move from buildings to destruction." They said to him, "So what is our situation in the hereafter?" He said to them, "Compare your deeds and weigh your deeds in the scale of religion and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recite this verse, 'Inna al-abrara lafi na'im.' The righteous ones will be in paradise, enjoying. 'Wa inna al-fujjara lafi jahim.' And the non-believers will be in hellfire, getting tortured." Then they said to him, "How do you pray? Tell us, how do you pray?" He said to them, "When the time of the prayer sets in, I perform the wudu fully with all the integrals and all the optional deeds, as-sunan, al-fara'id wa-sunan, the integrals and the optional deeds. Then I stand facing the Qibla. I imagine the Kaaba in front of me. Paradise on my right side. hellfire on my left side and the bridge as-sirat underneath my feet. Then I say Allahu Akbar with ultimate humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I recite with humility and make ruku' and sujood with humbleness. Then when I say assalamu alaykum to finish the prayer, I find my eyes filled with tears, as if this is the last prayer I'm praying. One person asked him, for how long you've been praying in that way? He said, 40 years. He's been praying in that way for 40 years. He said to him, I wish I pray in my whole life one prayer like this, and I hope that I'll be saved in the hereafter. One prayer. But now, the situation is different. When people want to pray, they pray in rush, in a hurry. If they want to fix something, they take half an hour. They have that patience. If they want to fix something on the computer, let us say, they want to make formatting for the computer. How long does it take to install all the programs again? More than 1 hour. They have that patience. But when it comes to prayer, they are very fast. This is the situation nowadays. A lady might take 3 hours cooking. 3 hours cooking, baking something. She feels very excited and happy when she finishes. That cake, for instance, it took her 3 hours. But when it comes to prayer, they are very fast. If you pray with humbleness, you would taste and feel that worship. And you love to pray more and more. That would push you forward to pray more every time. Imam Zain al-Abidin used to pray 1,000 rak'ah throughout day and night from the optional prayers. 1,000. Another righteous Muslim, he used to have a shop every morning. He used to close the curtain and pray 200 rak'ahs of the optional prayers before he starts. They used to love the acts of worship. So if you pray with humbleness, that would push you forward to pray more and more because you are feeling the taste of that worship. You enjoy praying. You feel with tranquility and safety when you pray. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to Bilal, "Arihna biha ya Bilal." Means, make iqama for the prayer, let us pray and have a rest. Have a rest in what? In praying. The Prophet used to feel with tranquility and rest when he used to pray, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's the one who said, what means, we used to eat and feel satisfied, we used to drink and feel satisfied, and we used to pray, but we never feel satisfied. From praying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never felt satisfied. That means he wanted more and more. One night he was praying until his feet became swollen. Aisha, his wife, said to him, "Hawwin ank, take it easy, O Messenger of Allah. Didn't Allah protect you from the sins in the past and from what's coming? Till your death, you are protected. While you're praying, that means that much of the amount of prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you from the sins in the past and protected you from committing sins in the future. While you are
tying yourself to that extent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be a thankful slave for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? That's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who was protected from sins in the past and in the future. What about us? We should pray with humbleness to Allah. Remember that Allah is your creator. Allah is the one who created you. And Allah has the right upon you that you worship Him alone. That you pray for Him. You fast for Him. Because He owns you. He created you. If you remember this all the time, when you pray, you will feel with a very nice taste for that act of worship. Also, among the minor signs of the approach of the Day of Judgment is when unqualified people will be appointed in some significant positions. You find these days the imam who doesn't know how to recite Al-Fatiha properly. You find a person who gives khutbah on Friday and he doesn't know the integrals of the khutbah. And people who do not know cannot distinguish between the proper khutbah and the improper one. It happened in the past
that the appointed khatib didn't come to the mosque. He was late or away from the khutbah for some reasons. There was an old man in that mosque who was desperate, who was dreaming to have one day a khutbah on the pulpit on Friday. He was ready, he prepared some pieces of paper, and he wrote a khutbah on him, and he was ready. Once he realized that the main khatib is not there, hasn't come, he went up and he started making the khutbah. As you know, on Friday there are two khutbahs. He finished the first one, and he says, Astaghfirullah li wa lakum, and he didn't sit down. Then he started the second khutbah. People who were present, who knew about the integrals of the khutbah, gave him a sign by their hands to sit down. He continued, he ignored them. They continued giving him a sign by their hands to sit down. He ignored them. Until one of them said it loudly. He said to him, sit down. That person said to him, I'm not tired. Why should I sit down? He says the khatib sits down between the two khutbas when he's tired. It's not when he's tired. It's one of the conditions of the two khutbas on Friday to sit between the two khutbas. He said the khatib sits when he is tired. You can imagine now the saying of the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the companions asked him, O Messenger of Allah, mata sa'a? When is the hour? That means when the Day of Judgment will occur. And as we told you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself doesn't know exactly the time of the hour. He said to him, إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ, when the trust is lost, فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ, then wait for the occurrence of the hour. Then he asked him, وَمَا تَضِيعُ الْأَمَانَةِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What does that mean, when the trust is lost? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that by saying, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ لِغَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. when an unqualified person is appointed for a significant position, then wait for the occurrence of the day of judgment. And that happened. You find now people in very important and significant positions, and they are unqualified Islamically. They are unqualified to give khutbah, they are unqualified to give fatwa, they are unqualified to be imams, to lead the Muslims in the prayer, and unfortunately they are appointed. Maybe because his father was the sheikh of that mosque, and he inherited the mosque from his father. That's very strange these days. A person would inherit a mosque from his father? How could that happen? He might not be qualified for that position. It doesn't matter if his father was a good person and he was qualified. If the son is not qualified, he's not entitled Islamically to lead the Muslims in the prayer or to give khutbah. The one who is more qualified should lead the Muslims in the prayer and should give the khutbah. Not because that person is the son of that sheikh or that mufti. If he doesn't have the qualifications, he shouldn't be appointed in such significant positions. Also, among the minor signs of the approach of the day of judgment is the changes to the weather conditions. And it happened. Here in Australia, they say they have four seasons in one day. Not long time ago, at the Blue Mountains, they had what? People were skiing and bushfires on the other side. Drought in Sydney, flood in Queensland. Very hot in Melbourne. The weather is changing. Even in some countries that didn't expect that before, also are experiencing these changes in the weather conditions. These are also among the signs of the day of judgment. Also, the widespread of events of killing and injustice will take place. How many people are getting killed unjustly every day? For a period of time of about 10 years, they recorded 160,000 dead in Algeria. In Iraq, for the past 3-4 years, about 500,000 dead. Some ignorant people would commit suicide bombing, killing themselves and killing other innocent people. And that happened in the past 10 years, increasingly. Many people, innocent people, are getting killed every day. These are also among the signs of the day of judgment. Also, the shopping centers or the markets will increase to an extent that you would find only short distances between the markets, like shopping centers now. But in the past, they had them like markets, a place where they sell variety of things. Now it happened. The shopping centers are widespread. All these minor signs for the approach of the day of judgment are known to have already happened and prevailed. Also, a speedy elapse of time, whereby a year would seem like a month. A month would seem like a week. A week would seem like a day, and so on. Speedy elapse of time. Among the last signs of the small signs yet to happen is the emergence of Al-Mahdi. And this was mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet said, what means? The day of judgment will not occur until a man from my descendants comes forth. His name is like mine, that means his name is Muhammad. And his father's name is like my father's name, that means his father's name is Abdullah. So his name is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Al-Mahdi, known as Al-Mahdi, the one who guides people to the right path. He will fill, as the Prophet said, the land with peace and justice, as it had been congested with corruption and injustice. This is Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salam. This hadith has been related by Ibn Hibban in his book As-Sahih, Abu Dawood in his book As-Sunan, At-Tirmidhi in his book Al-Jami', and Al-Hakim in his book Al-Mustadrak, as it was in turn related from the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah raise his rank, as he heard it from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So known as Al-Mahdi, his full name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and he will be from the descendants of either Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn, the sons of Fatima, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Initially in his mission, Al-Mahdi will be accompanied by an angel. This angel will call on people to follow him. He would make announcement. The angel would say, هَذَا خَلِيفَةُ اللَّهِ الْمَهْدِي فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is Al-Mahdi, follow him. And everyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for him to hear the voice of that angel would be able to hear the voice of that angel. They would hear this announcement from this angel that this is Al-Mahdi, follow him. Imam Al-Mahdi, as understood from the hadith, will emerge from Medina, Al-Madina Munawwara, then when he would go to Mecca. In Mecca, next to Kaaba, the righteous Muslims will come from around the world and they would all give him mubayah, as they want to support him and they appoint him as the leader for all Muslims. And he would be appointed at that time in Mecca. So from what is understood from the hadith, he will emerge from Medina, then he would go to Mecca. And what's his name? As we mentioned in the hadith, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, known as Al-Mahdi radiyallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reach that time where we can meet Imam Al-Mahdi and be among his followers. So this is what is understood from the hadith. He would appear from Medina and he would go to Mecca. There the righteous Muslims would appoint him as a leader. Unfortunately, Some imposters who have read in the books of the hadith, they heard about Imam al-Mahdi. So they found a way and a gate for them to go to people and deceive them. Many people claim to be al-Mahdi. Have you heard of Ghulam Ahmad al-Qadiani? This person who emerged from India and Pakistan, these countries, about 110 years ago. He claimed to be al-Mahdi first. Then he claimed to be Jesus, alayhi salam, Isa, alayhi salam. Then he claimed to be a prophet. When the scholars went against him, he said, I'm not an independent prophet. I am a dependent prophet under the shadow of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this doesn't make sense. He claimed to be the prophet. Because his name is Ahmad, he said, didn't Prophet Isa alayhi salam say, as mentioned in the Quran, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. That means Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, carried the good tidings that a prophet will come after him whose name will be Ahmad. He said to people, I am Ahmad. Some people followed him. He led them astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to degrade him and humiliate him, made his end in the toilet. He died in the toilet. And what did the Prophet say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Prophets should be buried in the place where they die. If his followers were truthful that he was a prophet, why they didn't bury him in the toilet? One imposter said, I'm the advisor of al-Mahdi in the future. He died years ago. And Imam al-Mahdi didn't appear yet. One person from Pakistan, he's a lawyer and a liar at the same time, came to Australia a few years ago. They call him Hussein. This person was promoting his devil, a person called Riyaz Ahmed Johar Shahi, and they call the association after the first letter of his name, Riyaz Ahmed Johar Shahi. It becomes Rags International. That's what they call it. And they are worthless than rags. He came to Australia and he started promoting for this person. He said, Riyaz Ahmed Johar Shahi is al-Mahdi. And they made some publications in the newspapers, Arabic and English. He's promoting for him. And he said that the face of his sheikh, leader, who claimed to be al-Mahdi, was seen in the moon when it was full. It was seen in the black stone. And they made some pictures to show that there is a picture of a face of that person in the black stone and also in the moon. And this person, walayyazu billahi ta'ala, is claiming that he is al-Mahdi and he was sent to all religions. So he has a cocktail of religions, walayyazu billahi. He said that he was sent to Christians, Jews, Muslims, and all people from, and Hindus, and Buddhists and all people. It is known that his followers are fond of ladies. If you lose any of them, you find him with some ladies. His followers are womanizers. They chase women. And he's claiming that he was sent to teach people the ethics. What ethics? Most of his followers are drunk and womanizers. What ethics he want to teach to people? Not only that, he claims that he can make a rhythm for your heartbeats. Instead of having the normal heartbeats, he can make a rhythm for them. He teaches you, and maybe he can make a symphony for your heartbeats. That's what he claims. And he claims to be Al-Mahdi. Where is he? He emerged from where? From Pakistan. He went to where? To London. From Pakistan to London. The Prophet said the Mahdi would emerge from Medina and would go to Mecca. That person emerged from Pakistan, went to London. His followers claim that when they are in the sujood, they see his picture on the prayer mat. They say, look at his picture for 1 hour, then turn off the light. You would see his face on the wall. If you bring a shoe and look at it for 1 hour, turn off the light, you would see it on the wall. That doesn't make any difference. This is not something that is strange to happen. Even if they see his picture on the wall, the devil might come in the picture of his face, in his shape, because they are brothers. He might come in his shape and he would appear to some people. The Muslim knows that this person is on the wrong path from his teachings. From his teachings he knows. Now some people, unfortunately, they think they can make up a new religion and they can deceive people. Like this person called Ra'il, the one who innovated the idea of cloning. He's the one who said that he is the brother of Jesus, wal'ayyazu billahi ta'ala. And he said he met with Moses, he met with Muhammad, as he claimed, wal'ayyazu billah, in a try from this person to attract people from different religions. Those are deviants. The one who has the knowledge of the truth would expose them easily. Easily can be exposed. But those who are ignorant, they don't have the foundations of the right knowledge, they might be deceived, unfortunately. They might be deceived. That's why, brothers, it's very important for one to acquire the knowledge about Islam and to be armed with the knowledge of Islam. When you have the true knowledge of Islam, that when you can defend Islam and you can expose anyone who tries to hide behind the curtain of Islam. Because some people now might be carrying the banner of Islam, but they are imposters. They have a political agenda behind it. How could you expose them? If you have the scale of religion, the scale of knowledge, put that person on the scale, he will be exposed. He won't be equal to 1 gram. If you meet another person who is on the right path, you weigh him by the scale of knowledge, you would realize that this person is a good person. Regardless his background, regardless from what country he came from, as long as he's teaching the right teachings, you say this person is on the right path. Also, some people would deceive others under the name of Sufism. They claim to be Sufis, but in fact, they are imposters. And those people might say in their meetings, if they want to praise Allah, instead of saying Allah, Allah in the right way, they say, you say to them, what is this? They say, this is a special name we praise Allah with. You say to them, but you should say Allah. Says, no, 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 you're beginners. So you say Allah, but we're much, much advanced. That's why we say, because we are more advanced than you, we say instead of Allah. And they think this is a very, special name for Allah. It's not a name of Allah. If you say, this is a word, an expression that you use when you are in pain, it's not a name of Allah. The scholars of Islam said, according to the four schools of Islam, four schools of thought, Shafi'i, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, if you are praying and you say, on purpose, you invalidate your prayer. That's by the scholarly consensus. And it is known that if you say Allah, Subhanallah, when you're praying, because it is zikr, it doesn't invalidate your prayer. And Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. There is no name among the names of Allah that is as they claim. But that expression they use in the Arabic language, it is known that it is a word that is used when a person is in pain. When a person is in pain, he would use such an expression. So it can't be a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, people do not acquire the knowledge about religion. They sit in these meetings and they claim to be making zikr. They stay, they leave, their beads grow. They wear the Islamic costume. They put the cap on their heads. And they hold the subha, the beads. You look at them, you think they are sheikhs. They are very ignorant. And they think after a while that they are now in a very, very high rank in Islam. If you ask them what are the invalidators of wudu, they won't be able to know. They won't be able to tell you the invalidators of wudu. How could those people be among the people of the right path? That's why, brothers, the knowledge of Islam. Keep that in mind. Acquire the knowledge of Islam, the right knowledge, the correct knowledge that will benefit you in this life and in the hereafter. You won't be tempted or deceived by these imposters. Rather, you'll be protected by the light of this knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten us more and more with this knowledge of Islam and to make our end as righteous Muslims. Ameen. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.